I was thinking on and off the last week or so regarding some things. You know, we sent out a newsletter not that long ago, an email blast. The pastors felt it was important that we just send something out regarding all the stuff that's going on in the Middle East and how to pray and to pray for it. And we see that, you know, things, the craziness going on there. We hear the craziness of things happening in other areas of the world. We're even now concerned, many of us, about what may potentially happen here, because we're already seeing some reaction to those things in this couple synagogues, and there's reports about drones here being stolen, and now they're concerned, are they going to be used here for some domestic terrorism stuff? And then we have issues going on with, you know, in the government, issues going on with shutdowns and long lines and people traveling and all this kind of, and it gets to the point where you just kind of say, I'm tired of it all, man. I don't want to hear it anymore. It's just enough, enough, enough. It's just so much. And I think it would be improper to say that any in particular thing that we're all dealing with is necessarily, like, when you look at one-off issues, any less, you know, of an issue than many people have dealt with all through this world. I mean, there's stuff been going on, go back generations, and people were dealing with world wars, and people were dealing with, you know, kind of, you know, the Spanish flu that came earlier on. I mean, so people have dealt with bad stuff in the world. But I think what makes our time unique is that we get bombarded from all sides. There's no rest. We're constantly hearing about stuff everywhere. Not only on the big world stage, but on the local world stage, and we hear it constantly in the news reports and the notifications and the this and the that, and bam, we're getting bam, 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 wow, 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 wow. And we are kind of just like, I just want to close my eyes and go to sleep, man. I want to just close it all off. I'm just like, I don't want to hear it anymore. I can't hear it anymore. And we just get so anxious from it, and we get so disgruntled, and we are on edge, you know, we're on edge. We're waiting for the next thing to drop, the next headline to drop, and the next situation to go on. And then that's on top of all the stuff we're all dealing in our personal lives, because you got nothing going on in your personal life, right? Nothing, right? Nothing. It's perfect, right? Now you got all that stuff to deal with, and then you got all the other stuff to deal with. It's just like, oh, I just want to check out, man. Just stop it. I just want to numb myself. Something. I just can't deal with it anymore. So we're going to go into God's Word today, because we need to hear what God has to say, not about the events that are going on, but what God wants to do for us and what God has provided for us if we're willing to accept it. And we're going to talk about comfort this morning. We're going to talk about comfort. Now, I want to just say from the beginning, I'm talking about comfort, but you're going to realize during this message, I'm not talking about being comfortable. There are two very distinct and different things, okay? And we'll see that more as we go on through the message. So if you're thinking about, you're going to hear something today that's going to make you kind of feel just like, okay, and I can kick off the shoes and just go lay by the beach. It's not that. In fact, it's much better than that. Because all of that requires everything in the world to be just right. And it ain't never going to be that way. There's never going to be a set of circumstances that are going to make you be able to feel 100% comfortable, you know? But comfort is something that you can have all the time. Comfort is something that is available to us, and it's much greater than just being comfortable. So turn your Bibles to Isaiah. Old Testament, we're going. Isaiah chapter 40, and you'll see why in a second as soon as they put up on the screen, because right out of the gate, chapter 40 of Isaiah, right? Okay, are you there yet? Ezekiel should put it up on the screen. You got Ezekiel? What's the first words out of the gate? Comfort! Comfort! Say, Pastor Joe, you had to dig in those concordances real hard to come up with this scripture, huh? Well, it's because as I was praying about this, this is all that kept coming back to me. Comfort, 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 comfort. And right out of the gate, Isaiah is saying out, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Now, you may wonder, why was this message being broadcast to the people at that time, the people of Judah during that time? What was going on in their lives? What were they dealing with? Well, they were dealing with the fact that there was a lot of turmoil, a lot of turbulence going on in their time. They were dealing with the fact that their neighbors to the north, the northern kingdom of Israel, which was their people, but they were kind of separate because of civil war and different things like this. They were already taken over by an Assyrian army, and there was all kind of wars and stuff going on, and I mean, people getting killed and ripped apart. It was awful, awful. And through that, if you look at even the book of Isaiah, the first so many chapters, like 35 or kind of first 35 are like prophetic, but the middle ones here, from like 36 to 39, just before this, they're kind of historic, but they're recent history. They're telling the people, reminding the people of what just happened, like yesterday's news, but it's also telling them what's happening now coming around the corner. So in other words, bad stuff has just happened, but worse stuff is coming. Oh, so don't get too comfortable, because though the bad stuff has taken place, there's going to be worse. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. Which was true, but he's also telling them that it's on your doorstep, a greater war, one that's coming right into your living rooms. So you're thinking about, wait a minute, how can we get comfortable when we know that we've just been through this washing machine of stuff, and now we got this thing coming that's even worse? Man, comfort. That her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. See, God's comfort is a comfort that is not based upon the power of positive thinking. Just think about good things and rainbows and butterflies and candy unicorns and some whatever nonsense you think, and everything will look brighter in the world. All the stuff we're seeing today, let's just put a good spin on everything, and yeah, everything will be good, and you could be comfortable, and you could have comfort. No, it's not that. It's also not a message of just bury your head in the sand and pretend nothing's really happening. Just go on with your life, like just blinders on, and just get up and go to work and go home and eat dinner. And don't watch TV because you'll hear the nonsense. But just keep yourself in a little, pretend, just shut it all out. And no, it's not that either. It's a message based on reality. It's a message based on real things that are really happening. It's a message that they needed to hear and we need to hear today. And it's a message that comes right out of the gate, as we already said. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. So yeah, the warfare had ended, but the battle is still looming, and it's a worse battle that's coming. But the Bible tells us that in spite of all of this, that we can be more than conquerors when we're in Christ Jesus. It also tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them," the evil, right? "Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." This is the message by which God is going to bring to us an idea of understanding comfort and what comfort really means. But I'm going to start out by saying this. If you're looking to have comfort that comes from God, you will never receive that comfort in any shape or form. You can never, ever enter into God's comfort unless your sin, your iniquity has been pardoned. See, if everything in this world all of a sudden got peaceful and perfect, not only on the world stage, but in your life, you were hitting on all cylinders, man, and it just was great. And you said, oh, this is what comfort's all about. I get it. Guess what? It ain't going to last, because even if the rest of your natural existence is in comfort, when you leave this world, you're going to be in a place that is not very comfortable at all. Not at all. See, and we know that deep down inside. People know that. God has designed it and designed us that we know that there is something more than just this life. God has placed within our hearts eternity. We understand there's something coming. It's very interesting to me that right now, as we speak, or as we sit here, as I'm speaking, as we're all here in this building together, that I have read several different surveys from different sources that say the same basic thing, that at this moment, over one-third of Americans believe that the world is going to end in their lifetime, which is like a huge number compared to when they used to check this up before, it'd be like single digits. But listen, this is more important, because you hear this stuff, many of you, from a Christian point of view, Christian ears. They're not thinking about the world ending like we talk about, like stuff that's happening in the Bible. They're thinking about world blowing up, catastrophic. They're thinking about nuclear Armageddon. They're thinking about aliens coming down. They're thinking about, we finally got to the point where we've ruined the planet so much, the volcanoes are going to explode and they're going to wipe us out like they wiped out the dinosaurs. We're done. That's the mindset of people right now. And I bring that up from what I was saying previously, because we understand that people have this sense of the doom and gloom, and this growing, by the way. This is all with recent phenomena within the last few years. This has really grown like that. And they estimate that it's going to continue to grow, that more and more people are going to think this way. But it's not just that. Even if those same people tomorrow would hear this word, oh, let's get everything's peaceful and everything's good, there's something inside them that they know that, no, there's something else coming. And that's that eternity that God places in our heart, that after this life, you have to recognize something else is going to take place. And what we know is, in the reality of what the Word of God says, is that after this life, you have to transition into a new destination. And it's either going to be a place of all comfort with God, or a place of eternal torment where there is no comfort at all. And if you want to avoid the place where there's no comfort at all eternally, then you must know that your sins have been pardoned. They have to. You have to start there. You can't get anywhere else to receive comfort unless you know that your iniquity, your sin, has been pardoned. Now, it says here in our text that her iniquity is pardoned, for she received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. So they got double whammy to get their sins washed away, and that's how God's going to do it. God's going to make my life miserable so I can pay every debt till it's very owed. No, that's not what it actually means. Even the original language doesn't support that. The original language, when it says double here, is a very interesting phrase, actually, in the Hebrew. It means when you get something and you fold it over on itself. So, like, you double it. So picture, like, a dollar bill and you fold it in half. Right? Or a blanket and you fold it in half, right? So what happens when you do that? You have essentially two portions of it, but what you do if you fold it in half, you have one half that absolutely covers the other half. And what the phrase in the original Greek and the intent of what it means here is that we will receive for ourselves double, meaning that the payment for our sins is completely the payment is completely covering all of our sin debt. And we realize that that is only happening because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. So Jesus took the wrath of God upon himself to pay our sin debt. And our sins can be pardoned when we receive his forgiveness by faith, because he has done the complete work and he has completely covered our sin. Washed it away. It's gone. And unless you and I have received that forgiveness from God, you will never, ever know true comfort. You can't. But if you have received that, then you can begin to understand the comfort that which God wants to comfort you, and you can begin to live your life walking with that comfort that God has given to you. And it's important for us to understand this. Jesus received that cup of wrath to completely pardon our sin, and when you do that, now you are completely, completely comforted because you're no longer in debt to God. Now, verse 3 says something interesting right on the heels of that. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in a desert a highway for our God. Does that sound like New Testament to you? Who's that sound like? John the Baptist, our friend the bulldozer. That's my nickname for John. John's a bulldozer, baby. I like John. John's one of my favorite Bible characters. This guy had a message from God, and his message or his mission from God is get everybody ready because the king is coming. The road is all messed up. It's got rocks in it. It's got things in it. It's not level. There's, by the way, man, we're already experienced, but we got pothole nightmares out there. I knew when we got that bag of ice, I said, oh, we're going to be in for it. And it's like, and by the way, God bless you if you live on 9th Street. Do you see that street right now? You can't even drive down it. It's like, anyway, I digress. But here's John looking at that mess, 9th Street of the world, right? The whole, right? And John's like, no, I got to get it ready. Bulldozer, make it straight, fill in all the holes, clear it out, get out, knock down the trees, knock down the thing, any obstruction, just. John, I think, if you would like kind of sit with John the Baptist, I got to imagine he was one intense dude. Really. I know that's from eating all those locusts. You know what I mean? It's just like, that makes you like, you're kind of like, I got the locusts, you know. And John just said, no nonsense. I got a message, and I'm going to pull no punches. I'm just going to bulldoze this road because the king is coming. I got to get it ready for him. Prepare the way for the Lord. Let every mountain be brought low and hill be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight. The rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Then all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Preparation. Every work of God begins with preparation. Every work of God begins with preparation. Do you know that when you're here today, when we gather, it's part of that preparation. We are being prepared constantly to hear the word of God. We're being prepared to meet Jesus face to face. We're being prepared to walk this Christian walk. We're being prepared to be able to know how my sins can be forgiven. We're being prepared. And if I'm doing my job right, and we do our job right together, we are preparing one another for this life that we have to live together. And that life that we have to live together says, make the path straight because the Lord is coming. Whether you like it or not, whether you're ready or not, he has his own timetable. He's going to come when he comes. The job of preparation is to make the path straight for him. So this message today is also a message for us to make sure that we are prepared to hear from God, to hear what he wants to speak to us today. Preparation is very, very important because the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed. And this message of preparation, this preparatory message is for everybody. It's for everybody. Every nation shall see him. Everybody shall see him. It doesn't matter where you come from, what you're about, what your background's about. You need to get ready to hear and to receive the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. And that's why John the Baptist came, just crying in the wilderness. So don't fail to appreciate the preparing work of God in your heart. Our hearts need to be prepared. Every time we get together, our hearts should be prepared. You should prepare your own heart by praying before you come to church. Every morning, get up and pray. Seek God's face. Intercede for our gathering. When you come out to Bible study and come to service, when you come and have our times together, just, Lord, prepare our hearts. Prepare our hearts. Prepare our hearts to receive your word. Prepare our hearts, oh Lord. We need it. Because there's a lot of stuff in our hearts that ain't right. It's not straight. And it needs to be made straight. So then verse 6, then the voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? What's my message? And listen to this interesting message, and you'll understand why the people then and us now need God's comfort. Here's the message. All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Guess what? We're the grass. And guess what? We're not permanent in this world. Some of our grass is growing pretty long right now and is getting ready to be clipped. You might think, well, I'm a new grass. I'll get through it. No, because if the sun scorches in the heat, you might dry up. Oh, no, no, but I'll start to flourish when the weather's nice and the rain comes upon me. Yeah, and then the freeze comes and this thing, and you get all shriveled up. We're grass. We're not permanent. And everything in our life, we understand, is like that. There's no sense of in our lives of anything of any permanence. It's always in flux. It's always moving. It's always changing. Stuff is going on. That's why we hit this stuff all the time, because boom, 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 and our emotions change, and up and down and this and that, and we finally get to the point and say, oh, enough is enough. And if you're trying to find your comfort in this world or in the things of this world, it won't last, because it's like a flower. It's like a grass blade. It's just going to go away and blow away one day. So your temporary comfortableness is just that, temporary. And if it's external only, based on your circumstances, it's only going to last for a minute. In fact, it's really a mirage to begin with. But God's word lasts forever. And that's the message. In all the uncertainties of life, in all the ups and downs, in all the things of the transient nature of our life, God's word is forever. It never changes. It stands forever. Its promises are forever. They will not change. They will always be enforced. God's word stands forever. Do you know this word of God that we have? It's been attacked since the very beginning of our creation. Right out of the gate, the enemy tried to change a word to mess them all up. But God's word stands. For the millennia, through the millennia, I should say, people have attacked this word, trying to destroy it, discredit it, and everything else, but yet it still stands. They wrote it down on like parchment, on things that are that can fade away, and the ink could, you know, can kind of get dry and fade away, and then the parchment could be burned, or could be ripped, it could be torn, it could be thrown around, and all these things, but yet it still remains. I think it was Roman Emperor Diocletian who, for 25 years, had a campaign, if I remember right, to burn every copy of the Word of God. He failed. And a little bit later, a guy named Constantine came along, and he paid by government expense for one of the scholars to build and to copy the Word of God. Even through all times of revisionist history, all times of the so-called human enlightenment periods, where they kind of said the Bible is out of fashion, the Bible doesn't make sense for us anymore, the Bible's going to fade away, and it could be guys like Voltaire who said within 100 years the Bible will cease to exist, and then he died. And then the Geneva Bible Society bought his house and printed Bibles out of it. God's word will stand forever. But I'm going to give you a little bit of a warning now. Okay? This is important. I'm not going to digress from the message, but this is an important warning. Because of the day and age in which we live, which causes us potentially causes us to have more anxiety. And you may not even be aware of this. But you might say to yourself, well, Pastor Joe, I still got like books. They could be taken and burned, and they could do all that stuff. That's true. But you know what you say to yourself? But guess what? I got the cloud. It's on the cloud, baby. I could download the word anytime I want. Well, be careful because they're changing that Bible that's up in the cloud. Be very careful. I've already seen it firsthand. They are manipulating the word of God that's up there online. You better hold on to these. Serious, this is not old-fashioned. I know many of us, I am guilty of it too. I go into meetings like this and I say, it's on my phone. Yeah, well, guess what? That can be changed. And it is being changed. There's one man who boldly proclaimed that AI is going to rewrite the Bible completely. So don't be surprised when you go type in a Google search and say, I want to see Isaiah 40, and all of a sudden there's some different words in there. Hold on to this. That's just my little aside as a warning. But more than just hold on to this, read it. Meditate in it. Tom, memorize it, right? Memorize it when you can. Because this word of God will stand forever, but we want to make sure that we stand upon this word and its promises. So here it is. Everything else is going to fade away. They may even burn these books again, but God's promises and God's words will never change. Never. Never. No matter what they do, they can destroy every copy of the Bible, but God's word will still remain and his promises will still be enforced and they will come to pass exactly as God said it. Now understand something. It's important that we know the word of God. And listen to what Peter says regarding this. And actually we'll quote this scripture in the epistle in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says that us, again, if we're born again, having been born again, right? We have peace with God, right? Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, not the stuff that goes away, the flower that grows up today and gone tomorrow, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you, because it has been maintained in force. And the same gospel that you received maybe 10, 20 years ago, the same gospel by which you accepted and believed and you've been born again is, guess what, still into effect. And all of God's promises are yes and amen. That's where comfort comes from. That's where true comfort comes from. See, listen to the next verse. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. You know what that tells me? That when we know the promises of God, and we stand upon the promises of God, and the promises of God, regardless of our circumstance personally or the world's circumstances altogether, regardless of any of those things that are going on, we have the comfort that God will comfort us with, and we're walking in the comfort of God. Guess what? Then don't get too comfortable. Go out and tell somebody about it. Because that's our job. We got to be like John the Baptist. We got to go out there and say, behold your God. He's coming. Behold him. Because guess what? He is coming back. And he's going to judge this world. And that's a message that we have to let people know, because people wonder, why am I so full of uncomfortableness? Why am I all on edge? And why am I this? And why can I never find the peace? And what is going on? Because you're not prepared to know your God yet. And behold your God. And when people hear, behold my God, for some people they laugh at that. Other people say, no, I'm afraid. But we have to let them know that God loves them. He loves them. And he made a promise to them. So behold your God. Listen to verse 10. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. See, when we understand, church, the comfort of God And we realize that comfort is completely independent by circumstances. It's the comfort that is internal, not external. And we walk in that comfort, or we live in that comfort, then we are going to be able to walk in this world as a living, breathing message from God that there is a God who is in control of all things. And if you let him, he will pick you up in his arms. He will hold you close to his chest. He will comfort you with a comfort that you can never receive anywhere else. And he will, if you will let him and receive him, forgive you of your sins and pardon you completely. Jesus is our good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus cares for his flock like nobody else can care for them. Jesus is the great shepherd. He has already been triumphant. You know, everything that we see and we know is in the history has already been done. You know, when Jesus went to the cross and he died, he already broke the back of Satan. He already broke and discredited his work. He took your sins. He nailed them to the cross and they're gone. He made a promise to you that I'm going back to the Father and one day I'm coming back for you and nobody can stop me. No alien menace, no nuclear Armageddon. No Ayatollah, no governor, no president, no dictator. Nobody can stop Jesus. He is king alone. And he's coming back. And he's coming to take you where he is. But in the meantime, he'll hold you in his bosom and say, I got you, child. I'm never going to let you go. Where can you get comfort like that anywhere else? You can't. And he's the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. Who is coming back to judge this world. But if you've made peace with God, you don't have to worry about that judgment. You are in his comfort. And the next few verses, which I'm not going to read just for the sake of time, I'll read some of them, but not for just for the sake of time, is going to tell us in here in chapter 40 of Isaiah why we can trust this one to give us the comfort that he's able to do everything he has, because you know that he's promised to do. You know why? Because he's the one who measured the waters out of the hollows of his hand, who measured the heaven with a span. In other words, he's the God who made everything. That's how big our God is. How big is the universe? It's still expanding. Guess what? God is bigger than the universe. And when everything in the world seems out of control, no, don't worry about it, because God who created all things has a plan for this world, and his plan is coming together exactly as he decreed it to be. And when it seems to be falling out of place, it's actually falling in place perfectly. Not only on the world stage, and all the chaos that we see, and we're trying to figure out what in the world is going on and where's this all leading to, not only in that, but in your chaos in your own life too. Because you know what he promised you? That he has a plan for you. And it's a good plan. And it's a perfect plan. And if you trust God to orchestrate that plan for your life and you allow yourself to fall in line with his plan for you, you will receive from God not only his peace, but the comfort by which you and I need that comfort from. And it'll be a perfect comfort, even in uncomfortable situations, because he did it all. Nothing in this world can supply it to you. That's what it says in here. Who would you liken to God? Who can do this? And who even has the mind of God? Nobody! This is all God's idea, and God is good, and God is perfect, and guess what? He has orchestrated this for us. And it's going to come to pass exactly as God said. Now, verse 21 is really interesting. After he says to them, listen, this is what God has done. He's the one who created all things. He's the one in control. He's the one in charge. He's the one who can bring you the comfort, and nobody can stop him from comforting you. When he holds you in his arms, he's never going to let you go. Guess what? You know what he says in verse 21? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told from you from the beginning? In other words, you and I, church, get from this. We know this message. Yet you and I many times are not being comforted by that message. We forget the message. Amen? Oh, I'm good today. I feel good. I'm comfortable today because all my circumstances are good. Thank you, Jesus. But then something happens tomorrow and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And then, Where'd the comfort go, man? Did the comforter leave you? No, the comforter's still there. You know, the comforter's the Holy Ghost. He lives inside of you. If you're born again, he's in you. And the comforter's still there, but you're going, ah! Why What? Have you not heard the message before? Don't you know that nobody can knock God off the throne? Don't you know that he promised never to leave you nor forsake you? Don't you know that he's still holding you in the palm of his hand? Don't you know he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you? Don't you know that his word abides forever? It's never going to change. What have you forgotten? You forgot the whole thing. See, comfort being versus being comfortable. Sometimes when you and I get too comfortable, we forget the word of God. And then all of a sudden, our comfortableness goes out the window and we go, gah, we go berserk. Because we're not walking in his comfort, we're walking in the circumstances. See, it says in the end of that chapter there, or the end of those verses, verse 25, 26, says, the Holy One, lift up your eyes and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and by the strength of his power. Not one is missing. That's the God you can trust to bring you the comfort that no one else or no other thing can give you. Now, as we close the message, as we get to the last few verses of this chapter, we understand something. We understand, verse 29, that this God who gives us comfort understands your frame. He understands your mind. He understands your emotions. He understands how much you can bear and what you cannot bear, or how much you think you can bear when you're really a wreck inside, but you're trying to pull off this big front that I'm okay, but you're really like, bah. And you know what he says in verse 29? He, this one who is everything, gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Now, it's really interesting when I read that to understand that in the original language, again, I'm going back to that because it's very important. Those who are weak, right, those who are weak and are faint, if you will, that means those who are failing because they lack strength. They're just, the strength is wiped out of them. Have you been in those circumstances in your life? You got to the end of it, right? You're at the end of it and you're just, whoa, I am weak, I am done. He'll give you strength. See, the weary here are those who are worn out, right? They're worn out because they're exhausted from the hardness of life. And yes, life is hard. It is. Life is hard. And we become weary and we become weak, but God promises to give strength to the power to the weak, and he will give might and he will increase the strength. So that even if you're young or old, even if you think you have all the gumption within you to be a strong person, or even if you think I'm just such a timid person, even the wind blows and I get all weak, no matter where you think you are, God's going to take care of you, because even the youth shall faint and be weary. I don't care how long you think you can keep it up on your own, eventually you're going to hit a wall. You are. You're going to hit a wall. No matter how tough you think you are. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And you think, well, there goes the whole message. It doesn't matter if I'm young, old, weak, I'm going to just fail sometimes. No, because we have a wonderful but, and that but is those who wait upon the Lord. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When we stand upon the word of God, when we stay in it and we live it and we absorb it and we allow the Holy Spirit to bring that word alive in our hearts, when we obey the word of God and we walk in his truth and promises and we look in the word and we say, Lord, even though the world is going to hell fast, Lord, I know what your promises are for me, and I know what your promises are even for this earth, that you're going to come down and redeem this world one day, and you're going to set up your kingdom which will have no end. When we do that, when we wait upon the Lord, he gives us all the strength we need. He gives us the comfort that we desire so greatly. And then you and I can fly like wings of an eagle. How many of you can flap your wings and fly? Come on, baby. No, you're on yourself. Go out there. Go out the window. Go. That's what we try to do, don't we? I'm going to fly, baby. I'm going to fly through all the problems, the thing that... But when you wait upon the Lord and he renews your strength, you will mount up wings that he will give you. And you'll be able to fly over your circumstances of this world. You'll be able to fly over your personal circumstances. You'll be able to fly over the nonsense that's going on around you because you know that he is your hope. He is your strength. He is your confidence. He is your peace. He is your comfort. And you'll fly with wings of an eagle. You'll run this race that is set before us. We run a race, don't we? With endurance. So the Bible says he'll give us the comfort to run this race with endurance, and then we can walk this Christian walk with a purpose, with a stride, with his comfort. And all of this says to this for us to do. Be comforted by God, but don't become comfortable. Be comforted by God and get busy and do the work. Listen to what Paul says to the church as we close. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This happened to him. This is his charge to the church this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Why? So we can be comfortable? No, that you'll have his comfort. So what? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So what's the purpose for our comfort? To go out and comfort somebody else. To go live this life, to run the race, to walk the walk, to fly over the circumstances that bring us down, and be able to say to others, listen, behold your God. He's a great God. And he loves you. He loves you so much that he desires right now to pick you up and to carry you in his arms. Will you let him? Will you make peace with God? Will you receive his forgiveness? Will you repent of your sin? Will you be born into his family? Will you become his child and receive the comfort by which he wants to comfort you? That's our charge, church. So have you been comforted? If you've been comforted, stay in that comfort. Walk in that comfort. Because it doesn't require you to do anything but trust him. And then, when you know his comfort, regardless of circumstance, go and comfort someone else with the same comfort that he has comforted you with. Father, thank you. I know we need to hear it. But more than that, we need to receive it, Father. Because, Lord, the reasons for us to be discomforted are many. But the reasons for us to have and know your comfort are even more. So, Father, comfort. Yes, comfort your people. And let us receive that comfort by first knowing that our sins have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then once we know we have peace with God and the comfort that that brings, Lord God, which is eternal, then let us begin to live this life in your comfort day by day, never forgetting your promises, never forgetting your word, never forgetting that it's not based upon circumstances or feelings, but it's based upon your promise that you, Lord, will hold us in your bosom, that you, Lord, will hold us in the palm of your hands. You will never let us go, and that your word and your plan will fully come to pass, and that plan for your children is always good, and that you will one day come and redeem this world and set up your kingdom that will have no end. So, Lord, I pray that we would be comforted through this word today, and we would go from this place looking to comfort others in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship team, I'm sure, has a song for us to sing, and let us wait upon the Lord, renew his strength, and go from this place flying, running, and walking in his power.